Well, today's readings and even the memorial of St. Ignatius of Antioch all kind of converge in on a similar theme. We have, of course, the reading from Ephesians, which, as I was mentioning in previous Mass, this letter was started by Paul probably when he's in jail in Rome, and as such, a disciple has to finish it for him, and it's a disciple who has, a slightly different hand, different themes, but clearly grounded in the theology of St. Paul, as this letter is. And he tells us, we ought to be grateful, that Christ has saved us. And it seems so obvious to us. And he said, at one time you were kind of dominated by the powers of the air. And that basically is a reference to the ethereal realm, the realm of wispy spirits, of, dark spirits or empty spirits or lonely spirits. I mean, we were destined to be in that kind of ethereal netherworld of loneliness or alienation or darkness or emptiness. And Christ has come gratuitously to get us out of that realm and to bring us into his heavenly realm. And so, of course, he's trying to encourage these folks, live for the gift you have been given. This gift of grace which has rescued you from this realm of this ethereal netherworld realm of lonely, empty, wispy, dark spirits. And of course, bring yourself ever more closely into the realm of light, the kingdom of light. And so he's asking us then to shift our focus away from, our former lives and to start, shifting that focus over to a new life that concentrates on prayer and concentrates on our mission to the extent that we can. I mean, we have to live in the world, right? But at the same time, he's saying, keep your focus, on what's really important, life in Christ, life of virtue, life of prayer, the life of mission, or what we might call evangelization today. And of course, we got the same theme really in the gospel reading today when Jesus tells his parable about the guy who's got everything. And I mean, everything back then was, the big barn, lots of crops in the big barn and so forth and so on, lots of property, a couple of moats around it to protect it from people, that was everything. I mean, today, of course, we go, the smart guy, the beautiful person, the great job, the high status, all these things. And of course, you kick back and you say to yourself, gosh, I've got everything. I am one fortunate dude. And of course, Jesus says, but it's, you also have to be fortunate, not just in accumulation of goods for yourself, and not just in self-aggrandizement, but you have to be constantly trying to store up things that are significant in heaven, trying to store up through prayer, or store up through mission, again, that word evangelization, store up through, virtue, right? The things that really matter to the kingdom of God. In other words, everything's converging on keep our priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given you besides. It's the whole idea of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Attach yourselves to the things of the kingdom, right? Prayer and virtue, Jesus, right? And of course, the mission, evangelization, bringing hope to the world. And all else will be given you besides. Of course you're going to have to maintain a job. Of course you're going to have to, keep things. But what Ignatius is trying to say is don't spend time on the things of the world. You need to provide for your families, etc. What he's saying in the same breath is detach yourself from the worldly things like status and power and money beyond what we need to support ourselves and our families etc., and attach ourselves to the things of the kingdom. No truth could be greater for Saint Ignatius of Antioch. This is a great saint. He's a martyr, yes, but the letters he left behind are so important because they reveal not only his important role in the church, and it was an exceedingly significant role, right, in the first century church. He died in 108, right? So, I mean, basically the majority of his letters are written, you know, before the turn of the century. He's living in the first century and just at the very beginning of the second century, right? And right there, we see what did Ignatius contribute to the union of the church. It was Ignatius of Antioch who first coined the word Catholicos, right, for the whole church. Right, that's Ignatius of Antioch. It begins with Catholic, right? That idea of Catholic. And of course, it's Ignatius of Antioch that begins to talk about bishops as, you know, within the apostolic succession, right? And how, you know, the regional bishop really is the head of all the presbytery. So he's creating this enormous church union, right? And it's Saint Ignatius of Antioch when a couple of the churches are getting out of line. And one church actually wants to just kind of toss out their current bishop, right, because they don't like him for, you know, whatever reason. And Ignatius of Antioch just says to them, you better follow the See of Rome. And, of course, right there you're going, huh? You know, there it is. Once again, he's pointing to the source of unity in the See of Peter, the See of Rome, right, the successors to St. Peter. And he's pointing to them. Peter's long been martyred, you know, since 64. And it's St. Ignatius of Antioch who's keeping the unity of the church, marking it with the term Catholic, with, you know, marking it with the union of the bishops through the See of Peter, which is the successor of the one who was given the keys by Jesus Christ. And, of course, it is St. Ignatius of Antioch who, you know, his ecclesiology, right, it is one of the most noteworthy things that leads to the very church that we have today. This man gave his life in blood, right, as a martyr, and did so because he sought first the kingdom of God, knowing that all things would be given him besides. Amen.